We're now right at the halfway mark in this emotionally healthy spirituality series. We've done 3 weeks worth and we've 3 weeks still to go after this week, and this is week four. So we're right at the halfway mark, smack bang in the middle. And I wanted to just pause for a wee while this week just to kind of reflect on where we've been and on where we're going, and actually to think about how we plan for the road ahead for us. I don't know how you feel about planning. I guess a lot of it's down to our personality type. You might be the kind of person who just loves to write a big long list, to actually get down to all the nitty gritty and the detail, to plan it all out step by step and then to triumphantly tick it all off as you go along. But maybe for you, your personality screams at that and says, no, that's way too rigid. You like to see the bigger picture and you like to be spontaneous in terms of how you move through life. Perhaps you like to just kind of go where the wind takes you and be a bit of a free spirit rather than somebody who's nailed down to a plan. You know, there's a story in a book called Hidden Wholeness by Parker Palmer. He tells a story about farmers in Midwest America. And in Midwest America, in the place that the story is set, blizzards come in the winter really, really fast. They can come from absolutely nowhere, and in the space of 5 minutes, it can be a complete whiteout and you can't see anything, even your hand in front of your face. And he talks about how farmers in the Midwest plan for the blizzard coming. They plan for the fact that perhaps there'll be a time in the winter where they're not able to see things. And what they do is they lay a rope down. So they tie the rope onto the front porch of their house and they lead the rope all the way through their garden or their backyard, all the way to the barn, and they tie it to the barn. And what happens is that when the blizzard comes in, they have something to hold on to in terms of getting back to where they want to be. It's not, Parker Palmer tells us, unheard of for farmers to die wandering around just feet from their back door in their own backyard, because the blizzard has come down so quickly and been such a whiteout so quickly that they've not been able to get back safely to where they were meant to be going. That kind of got me thinking, you know, this rope being a guide and the whole idea of blizzards. And I wonder if you recognise that feeling of being caught in a blizzard. I wonder for you what your blizzard looks like. Maybe your blizzard at the moment is COVID and all the restrictions of the pandemic. Maybe that just feels like it's come down so quickly and you now almost can't see your hand in front of you. Or maybe it's a health issue for you. Maybe it's a health crisis for you. Or maybe it's something to do with a family member or some other friend or some other relationship that you're involved in that matters to you. Perhaps something has happened in there and caused a blizzard. Maybe you're even in a place of that blizzard of being unnoticed and unrecognised and feeling all at sea and as if you can't really work out where you belong. Maybe your blizzard is the time of life that you're in. Perhaps you're at home with small children and you just never get a minute to yourself. And things have started to look really unfamiliar in terms of where they were once and what you recognised. And now it's not so easy to navigate and you're not really very sure where your rope is in the middle of this storm. Blizzards are a strange habit of taking away things from us. You know, in the story that Parker Palmer tells, some of the men lost their lives, the farmers lost their lives in terms of trying to get from the barn back to the house because of the blizzard. But blizzards in our lives have a real tendency to take things away and to obscure things that were once there before. And so blizzards can steal our joy. They can steal our hope. They can steal our sense of direction. They can steal our sense of purpose. They can steal lots of things from us. I wonder if you are recognising that you are in a blizzard at the moment. If that's familiar for you, then I wonder what that blizzard has started to steal from you. I've been thinking about the early church and about the fact that they must have been feeling like they were caught in a blizzard as well. The blizzard for them was that space of things being so different to what they were. You know, lots of folks in that early church in Acts 2 would have been people who would have been around with Jesus. And that familiar landscape of what it was like when Jesus was around had just disappeared completely. Some of them would have remembered the glory days of the turning water into wine and the crowds and crowds of people who were all turning out to see Jesus and wanting him to heal and wanting to hang on his every word. That familiarity of what it was like in that time, though, in the church in Acts 2 had disappeared. And here they were, a bunch of people who really weren't sure what they were about. They were in a place where there was lots of danger. Were they going to be the next ones to be taken and dragged away by the Roman guard? What was this actually going to look like in terms of moving forward? There was disorientation for them. There was unfamiliarity for them. And there was that sense of just not being able to get a handle on what was going on. And as I've thought about the early church, I've wondered what the rope was that helped them to get their way and make their way out of the blizzard. And we can read about the rope for the early church in Acts 2. Take a look at Acts 2 with me. And let's look for the rope that the early church had in the middle of their blizzard. We're in Acts 2 and we're starting just at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I wonder if you noticed the type of rope that the early church had. The thing was that they needed something that was able to get them from where they were then and to where they were actually going, where Jesus was leading them. They had to get from being in a place where they were just a bunch of frightened, disorientated followers to be in a missional movement that would actually impact generations to come and still be having an impact even thousands of years beyond where they were at the time. Did you notice the rope? Look at the rope. Here's the rope that was there. Here's the plan that the early church had in terms of being able to navigate their way through the blizzard that they found themselves in. They stuck together. They shared what they had. They met together every day. They broke bread together. They ate together. And they praised God. That was the early church's plan. They had a rope that they were going to follow to find their way out of the blizzard that they were in, to journey and to navigate the road ahead for them. And we need a rope too. We need a plan. We need something that we can follow in the midst of the blizzards of life. If we're going to stay this course, we actually need a way of putting one foot in front of the other and finding the guide to take us to where we want to go. The thing about a rope in a blizzard is, the thing about a rope is, a rope's not just one strand. The strongest of ropes are made up of probably three strands, three cords that are all twisted together. But even if you look at those individual cords in a rope are made up of individual fibres as well. It's not just one thing. So I want to ask you this morning, what might the strands of your rope look like in this season to help you get through whatever it is that's going on just at the moment? Over the last few weeks, as we've dug into this material together, you actually might have started to feel more than just a little uncomfortable in terms of stuff that's coming up for you in your life, things that Jesus is drawing your attention to. You might have started to feel like you've been in a snow globe that's been shaken and shaken and shaken, and this stuff is just swirling round about you. I want to encourage you not to back away from what God is doing, not to back away from what God might be doing in your life in this season. But I also want to encourage you not to try to accelerate the pace of what God is doing. Sometimes we find it really hard to calibrate, and we either don't do anything or we do too much, and neither of those are good things to do. I want to encourage you to go one step at a time, to go at the pace that Jesus is going in terms of the stuff that he is throwing up for you and for me just at the moment. You see, the thing about this rope in the blizzard was that the farmers held on to the rope and they simply took one step at a time along the rope to find their way to where they needed to be. I want to ask you, what one small step could you take over the next weeks to move you from where you are to closer to where Jesus is leading you to be? What one small step? Perhaps as you've been around on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night or engaged with the material and the devotionals during the week, perhaps you've realised that actually you've just been skimming along the surface of your relationship with Jesus and you've heard him invite you to come deeper with him. Perhaps you feel that that relationship, particularly over the last 8 or 9 months, has just been on autopilot. And perhaps his invitation to you just now is to come and to start to be intentional about that relationship with him. What does that look like for you? What does that one small step in that direction look like for you? Is that about a minute of silence and stillness with him? Is it about switching the radio off in the car and putting some worship music on? Or perhaps it's about actually getting down to studying that stuff that you really wanted to do, some commentary or some Christian book or something that you really wanted to dig into, but you've just never found the time for it. Perhaps that one step, perhaps that one strand in your rope over the next few weeks is simply to do one of those things. What small step could you take if Jesus is inviting you to go deeper in relationship with him? Maybe as you've engaged with some of the stuff that we've been doing on Sundays or Wednesdays or through the week on the devotional stuff, you've actually started to recognise that there's some unresolved emotional stuff that's inside you. And maybe that cool, calm exterior that you've had on the surface has been poked and prodded a bit, and you've discovered that there's some stuff going on under there that you've actually never engaged with before, or maybe not engaged with for a very long time. Perhaps you've realised that actually there's some internal work of your own that you really need to do. You know, right at the start of this, we had set up those small groups on a Wednesday night where we were able to come together. But those small groups aren't therapy groups where you can come and have a therapy session. They're absolutely places where we would encourage you to be honest and real, but they're not places for therapy sessions. So if you're feeling that stuff has been poked with you, that stuff is churning around and actually you need a bit more support, then we can help you with that. We can help you to look for counselling or therapy. We can help you to find a spiritual director. We can help you find some prayer if that's what you're looking for. So if the call just now is to take one step into the stuff below the surface for you, then why don't you make that your one step over the next few weeks, your one step of accessing the right person and the right place to go to in order to start to explore some of those emotional issues that are under the surface for you. Perhaps though, as we've talked about connection with yourself and with God and with other people, you've actually started to feel disconnected and realise how disconnected you've become from other people. Perhaps the step or the next step that you need to take, that one small step, is actually reaching out to somebody that you've not spoken to for ages, picking up the phone, dropping them a text, sending them an email, whatever. Perhaps it's about reaching out to somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, or perhaps it's about reaching out to somebody that you do know well and that you have been seeing, but actually you've always waited for them to make the first move. Perhaps it's about stepping forward into relationship with other people. Or maybe there's someone in your family that you know that Jesus has just had his finger on and you really want to get in touch with him. And maybe that's the small step that he's inviting you to take just now. Maybe that's the wee strand on your rope that is going to lead you into that place of newness, that place of transformation, that place that you want to be with Jesus and where he's leading you to. As with any other teaching series, it's really easy to soak in all the information and actually to get all fired up about it at the time, but then not to actually do anything about it. The thing about information and motivation is that they don't always lead to transformation. We actually need a cunning plan. A bit like Baldrick, we really need a cunning plan. We actually need something that we put into practice, like the rope, so that we have something to hold on to as we walk in the direction that Jesus is asking us to walk in. Once we've got a plan and once we know what we're going to do, we actually need to think about the A word. The A word is accountability. Now, accountability is that word that gets lots of bad press because in certain circles and in certain cultures and certain connotations, it can feel like control. Can I tell you that true accountability is not about control? It's not about what somebody does to me. It's actually what I ask somebody to do for me, to help me and support me. That's what accountability is. So perhaps if you're part of a small group on a Wednesday night, perhaps you would want to be thinking through, well, what is my next step? What is it that God is asking me to do? Is it something to do with my relationship with him or my relationship with myself or my relationship with others? And perhaps you would want to share that with your small group on a Wednesday night. And then the accountability thing is about saying to the person facilitating the group, next week when we meet, will you ask me whatever. Our small group did this a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about the silence and stillness stuff. And I was saying that a long time ago when we did huddles, one of the things about a huddle was that we did set accountability questions. And for me, that was one of the most important things. I know I'm far more motivated and far more likely to follow through on what I've said I'll do if I know somebody's going to ask me about it in a week's time. And so a couple of weeks ago, we set accountability questions in the small group. I didn't set them. Everybody else set them. And so it's a case of what would you like us to ask you next week that would help you in order to get that direction of where you're going? And it can be as simple as mine was, have you spent a minute in the day or a regular times in the day with God in stillness and silence? That's it. That's it. They're not rocket science questions. But perhaps you need to think about those accountability questions and who you're going to be accountable to. If you're not part of a small group on a Wednesday night, or if you don't want to do it in your small group, then perhaps you could find somebody who would journey this with you. Find a pal and say to them, this is what I think I want to do. This is the small step I want to take. So next week or in a couple of weeks' time, can you ask me, have you done such and such, or have you said, or have you been, or have you whatever? And build those accountability questions in so that we all start to take that one step along the rope. So, what's your plan going to look like over the next week or over the next weeks? Is God asking you to take one small step in one area? Is he asking you to take one small step in more than one area? The thing about it is that we're human and we all do the same thing. So it's a kind of hunger or a burst, I know, for me most of the time. And so I tend to go in with great gusto and then I just lose the place halfway through and decide to give up because it's not really working. That's the whole point of taking that one step. The steps should be manageable and attainable, but it actually should be challenging enough that you actually feel that you're moving in the direction. So if you're thinking about taking that one step and it's something that you're already 90% of the way there with, it's probably not going to feel particularly satisfying at the end of it. So think carefully. What one step could you take over the next 2 or 3 weeks in order to move along your rope to get to the place that you want to be? All of those thoughts, though, are actually about individual ropes. And so, as I close today, I just want to throw in one more thought for you. What does that rope look like for us as a church? Even before COVID, some of us might well have felt that we were in a blizzard and couldn't really see particularly clearly. What strands make up the rope that we're following in Whiteinch? As John Noakes, remember him, used to say, answers on a postcard. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that you know the way, even if we don't. Father, we thank you that you do want us to have our rope out in the blizzard so that we can follow to the place that you're taking us to. Father, thank you that you do want to give us insight into what that plan is and how we take that one step. Father, I pray for each of us this week that you would be really clear to us about the step that you're inviting us to take, and you would show us the way to do that over the next few weeks. Father, I pray that there would be safety and accountability for us, and that together we would step along that rope. We would work out what our rope looks like first, and then we would know how to take that step along it. Father, will you continue to minister to us throughout the course of today and into the rest of this week as we journey with you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.